Yeah, tough loss last night, but now we have a clear sense here of what the Kings need to do the rest of the way to get where they want to get to. It's going to be exciting starting tomorrow night. And then Friday's when the Suns come in, right? So you got Drape's birthday today.
Yes.
You got tomorrow the Pelicans. Then you got Friday the Suns coming in, and that means Isaiah Thomas.
Our guy Isaiah Thomas. AJ, I'm going to get IT on Friday, big fella.
I'm well, going I'm down. With you,
we going down to the floor.
I'm texting him.
Yeah.
Prior.
Make sure you roll in the camera. I want you to film this, document this. I'm going to go. We going to holler at IT. Try to get him on the show, man. Have him throw on the headset there.
It's a great story. I mean, it was a great story, just you and he. That was a great story. Now what he's doing this year is a great story on top of the great story.
Right. Signed for the rest of the season. You know, he'll be on the play-in roster, maybe playoff roster, and I'm happy for him, man. Mm-hmm. It's
We can do that, right? I mean, even though, oh, it's the Suns, weren't trying to beat out the Suns for spots. Like, he's Sacramento's own.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of us, right?
Yeah.
You know, shoot. So, you know, we want him to do well and Phoenix to lose, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset. And so we'll see him Friday, man. When's the last time he played in a game here, too? It's been a while, I would think.
That's a good question.
I don't remember. It hasn't been since I've been here. Uh-huh. I can't remember him suiting up and playing in a game. And so we're talking pre-pandemic, maybe the last time he was in Sacramento actually playing in a game.
You know, I was here for many, many, many years. And then right about the time he came in and got drafted, I ended up going to the Bay Area for a couple years and then came back. When I came back, he had just been traded. And people were like in mourning.
Really?
Yeah.
He had that kind of impact here. People loved him here.
Yeah. Interesting. And I was a little oblivious. I didn't realize he had that kind of connection with fans here. But,
well, I tell you what, even in Boston, they still, every year, fans are like, we should bring IT back. We should, like, he has that connection with these fan bases for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a guy that obviously wants to play, right? That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. He has to have that passion. That's the only way he'd been able to convince everybody that wouldn't give him a chance that, no, you have to because I can do this. It's very relatable and inspirational.
Yeah, and it could have been easy for him to give up, go into broadcasting, coaching, something else. But every day you see him out there on social media, it's about that grind, that slow grind, he calls it. And it's paying off, man. I'm looking forward to seeing him Friday.
Yeah, there's something really cool about guys that just, hey, I want to play.
Right.
Because once you're done, you're done. That's it. You know, I used to, as a kid, I'd think, oh, when guys are great players, once they lose a little bit, they should, you know,
retire.
For the sake of their legacy.
Yeah.
And I realized I got older. It's like, no, if a guy wants to play, you only have so many years you can play.
Hey, case in point, Vince Carter.
Yes.
Right? You know, Vince wasn't the same player, but he enjoyed the game so much. Went bounced around, obviously, to a number of different teams. It's because he loved the game. He loved to play.
Mm-hmm. How many players do you think from the Kings or in the Ringers most recent just came out today, a list of the top 100 players.
Ooh,
Brand new top 100.
That's a great question, man, because
remember the last time we talked about this, their last edition, we have to be out at the arena that day, and we spent a lot of time trying to figure out why in the world they only had two Kings in the top 100. Malik wasn't on the list.
I got to think Malik is on this list now. I just looked it up.
Yeah, number 22, De'Aaron Fox. Number 24, Domas. That's it.
Still no Malik?
No.
Let me double check a couple things here. Minnesota, Naz Reid, and they got Jaden. They got like five. Hold on here. What?
Here's number 100, Grayson Allen. 99, Brandon Miller.
Hold on, Whitey. Hold on. Stop for a second. I'm looking at Minnesota. Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, Mike Conley. Minnesota has six players. Six players. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, we remember we talked about this last time. Isaiah Hartenstein is on there. He's 98 still.
He's still on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Scary Terry's 97. Colin Sexton, 96. Nick Claxton, 95. As you mentioned, Conley, Jabari Smith Jr., RJ Barrett, 92. Malcolm Brogdon, 91. No Malik on the list.
Wow.
Didn't you actually reach out to somebody you know?
Kevin O'Connor.
Twitter? Yeah, and you asked him, would you say Malik's top 100? And didn't he say something like, maybe
let me pull
top 125?
Let me pull up that text right now about me and Kevin O'Connor. Hey, where is Malik Monk in your NBA list of players? Question mark, top 100? Probably borderline. I don't know, he said. Maybe 80 to 120?
That's right. 80 to 120. That's
unbelievable. That's ridiculous. That's, oh my gosh. Let me look at the Lakers here. They got Austin Reeves at 77, D'Angelo Russell at 83.
Now, you can't say, well, they're not voting for Malik because he's hurt right now. Marcus Smart's on here. He's not playing right now.
Marcus Smart's in the top 100?
He's number 87.
Wow. That's
and Malik's going to be almost certainly sixth man of the year, right?
Right. That's and this is why I wanted to look at, you know, some of the Minnesota, because Naz Reid is in that category for sixth man of the year. I'm going to look at Milwaukee. Where's Bobby Portis? Not listed, but Brooke Lopez, 62.
Naz Reid, 79.
So Naz Reid.
Austin Reed, 77. Yeah.
So. I just, for us to only have two, I could see at the beginning of the year if you feel that way, but with the year Malik has had this year, for him not to be in there, and so let me.
At the end of last season, if I'm not mistaken, you know, because they do this to their credit, they update it.
Yeah.
They have one going year round. I believe Herter and Keegan were both, and I think Malik was too. I think they had five Kings in the top 100 when last season
really?
Ended. Yeah.
Interesting. So they had five.
I believe so.
But going into this year,
going
not
into
so much.
This year, I think HB was still on there. But now once the season started, you know, the Kings are not the darlings of the NBA this year.
Right,
and the Rangers
right.
cooled on them.
Yeah.
Fine.
But, you know, I'm looking at this bottom of the list. Nick Claxton, solid player. Terry Rozier, solid player. Isaiah freaking Hartenstein. Grayson Allen ahead of Malik? Like, I just don't get that. Like, Grayson Allen, everything he gets is off of the other big three. You know, he's not out there creating. Malik.
You see what he did last night?
No.
I believe he was 0 for 8 on threes.
Was he?
Booker was like 1 for 11.
Yeah. Our Booker only had one field goal yesterday. Like,
that's stunning.
And did you hear the chatter today about Frank Vogel's job security?
No.
As well after one season? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's, I know. Wow. The fall guy, Frank Vogel. whether it's the Lakers, the Pacers, now the Suns, this dude always takes the fall.
Well, that's the name of that tune on the top 100. Still, Malik not in there. Mildly annoying to me. Mildly irritating. Got bigger fish to fry, right? But it's just still worth taking a look at it and saying, wow, they still don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I just find that hard to believe. Like, you know, you're talking about, like we said, a sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Minnesota.
Sixth man of the year is not the top one. I don't even know if that's mathematically possible.
Right, right. And Minnesota has six guys on this list. Six guys, which is crazy. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the three-point shooting. Ever since Malik went out, the Kings have been shooting more and more and more threes. The numbers are staggering. They average still, I think, 39.6 per game overall. But since Malik got hurt, I don't think they've taken fewer than maybe 42, and then last night 58. So why are they taking so many threes? Just, you know, forget whether it's working or not working or you agree with the philosophy. There's a reason why they're taking so many threes. What do you think it is? Because fans right now, a lot of fans right now after last night are like, what is going on here?
I think some of our players are too one-dimensional. Like, their strength is not getting to the basket and finishing. Because there's one thing to get into the paint, Whitey, but also having the confidence to finish in the paint. And that's something Malik Monk has. You know, even Kevin Herter has that. But you look at Davion as he progresses, and he's been playing fantastic, but that's not necessarily a strong suit. He's a little on the smaller side. Keon Ellis, not necessarily a strong suit as well. And even a guy like Keegan Murray, to an extent, he's still trying to work on that and develop that as well.
Not a great finisher.
Not a great finisher. And so I think, you know, our guys sort of, you know, rely on what they know best. Get into the paint, spray. And it's been hammered into their heads, too.
Yes,
let's keep it real. It, that's,
it's definitely the strategy.
It's definitely the strategy. And so I just think, you know, when you look at, you know, where the Kings are, the roster, especially without Malik and Kevin Huerter, it's depleted right now. It's not as strong as we'd want it to be. And so I think our guys are sort of just becoming reliant on the three-point shot. I would like the pull-up game a little bit more. But, you know, in today's NBA, they don't teach that mid-range game. They don't encourage that as much.
Don't you think the way teams are collapsing on them defensively is a response league-wide to some of the success Domas has had? When Domas is in the high post and he gets the ball, it's like, leave him out there. But when he gets the ball foul line in.
Oh, they're sending everybody at him. Yeah,
right. And I think that's the book on him now is when he gets the ball down there, scoring position, everybody collapses. So I think that's why Mike keeps saying, when they come, get it out.
Get it out. And get
it's
it out.
It's a response to the way teams are playing them, but they haven't mastered that response
yet. Yeah, but, you know, and you're right about that. And, you know, when Mike says get it out, too, and he, I know he talks ad nauseum about the spray threes. I get it. But also, when you look at it, just because one guy penetrates and kicks, that doesn't mean that's the end of getting it into the paint. You want multiple touches in the paint. And I feel like we're so focused as a team on spray threes and all this that, and Micah said, let it fly, that we've become too one-dimensional. You know, it's all right, drive, one pass, kick, let it fly. Instead of multiple drives, really get the defense working, maybe look at the basket. And, you know, somebody said, I don't know if it was on YouTube or text or whatever it was, how come they don't teach, you know, more backdoor cuts?
I think it was Allen suggested.
Was that Allen? Yeah, somebody said something like that, right? And the thing is, that's drilled in their heads too. Like, the offense is so free-flowing, it's read and react. You know what I mean? It's not just, you know, dribble handoff left and right. It's reading the defense. And so that goes back, you know, to that basketball IQ. Like, we got to understand the game a little bit better, I think.
I don't think that's an option because teams now, it's like, go ahead and shoot it. So they're not overplaying.
Oh, right.
If I'm not overplaying
I hear what you're saying. Yep.
You can't go back door. Right,
you can't go back door.
Too much room there.
Right.
You have to make that.
And especially with Domas down low on the block, that's not there as much. I don't know, man. I just think I wish we had more ball handlers who could create for others. Malik is one of that. He's one of the best at that on our team. Obviously, De'Aaron. But after that, it's a little limited, you know? And let's keep it real. Let's call it what it is, Kings fans. If I'm an opponent and I'm scouting the Sacramento Kings, which players really strike fear in my heart? We're missing two of those guys. Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, you have the game plan. I don't know how much game plan is going in on Keon Ellis, on Davion, Colby Jones. And so right now these injuries are hurting us.
Fox is at the top of my list. Domas is second. Other than that, you know
maybe Keegan.
He's on there.
Yeah, he's on there. But after that, you know, if those guys want to beat you, go for it, you know?
My big question about the Kings and threes, when we come right back also, Kings are trying to hold off a team that set an all-time three-point record just last night. We'll get to the phones as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Call up if you want to wish this guy a happy
birthday. Yeah, please do. Give me some love.
Yeah, it's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Oh, well, we're making it through together today on Kyle Draper's birthday after a tough Kings loss. Kyle Draper himself said a couple days ago that last night was an absolute key game for the Kings.
It was.
Because these next two were so tough.
Right, and the thing about it is, and I was talking for a top six berth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said earlier, it's virtually impossible right now. It can still happen, but you got to win out and Pelicans have to lose out.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, no doubt about it. Not likely.
Virtually impossible. All of a sudden, we're working with Carmichael Dave over here.
I'm not ready to give up on the season, however, but that six seed, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Here's what I don't understand about the Kings and all the three-point shooting. Again, I'm sure there's a good reason. A lot of times these reasons why coaches and teams do things are based on things that are not available to us, based on practice or how a guy's feeling. But when they're shooting so many threes now, in the last couple of games they haven't shot them at a very successful clip, I don't know why Sasha's not playing at least a little bit, because I think he had 11 against Boston, right? And then it's like, all right, sit down.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. No Sasha.
I mean, he's a good three-point shooter. And he still hasn't really found his stroke this year.
Yeah, and I think the injury obviously set him back big time.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And now you're trying to throw him in the fire when you're trying to win games down the stretch. It's kind of tough. But you're right, man. When you have an offense that, you know, over its last six hasn't scored 110 or more, like you would think Sasha could help you out stretching the floor, knocking down shots. I don't know, man. I go back to something I said 2 months ago. Like, I don't think Mike, you know, fully trusts guys, you know, the bench, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. Guys have been in and out. Guys have had opportunities. They haven't taken advantage of them. I look at a guy like Chris Duarte. Now he can't get off the bench.
And now Colby's playing.
And so, I don't know, man. I think, you know, the depleted roster, losing two of your top five guys, top six guys, if you will, I think it's catching up to the Kings right now.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to EJ, Sacktown Sports. Is this Ernie Johnson?
Hey, Whitey. Hope you're having a great day. DP, Fly Eagles Fly. It's been a few weeks since I've been on with you guys. But, hey, listen, you guys caught my ear talking about the over-reliance on three-point shooting. And this is something I wanted to ask you guys for a while. As opposed to other teams that drive, draw fouls, don't you think that free throw yips are playing a factor into some of these instant decisions and where they're shooting the ball? Again, I think everybody wants to shoot J's, conserve themselves. What's been keeping us in the games is our defensive rebounding. At least we're limiting the opponents to one shot at a time for the most part. But, man, I am super down after seeing Malik out. We're leaking oil. We don't look like we, even in a good situation, we can control pace even at the last 2-3 minutes of a critical game anymore. It looks like we're just playing behind by 10, even we've got a 5-point lead with this 3-point shooting, man. Oh, man, I'm down for the Kings until the buzzer sounds, guys, but Jesus, help me.
Yeah, we're we're Malik and Oil right now.
Malik and Oil. I like that.
But maybe he'll be back for the second play-in. If it comes to that, I think there's some talk that could happen.
All right. You know, it's, and I'm looking at the text line, you know, and people weighing in, and obviously on the YouTube chat and the caller just now. I just think, EJ, our guy EJ, you know, for this team to win, and I'm talking about the Kings, and I've said this 1,000 times, we can't afford subpar games from Domas and De'Aaron right now. Like, and Domas has been fantastic every game this season. Like, he's been amazing. But we need more from him. I feel like he could have used a day off about a month ago, a couple of games off, because I feel like the beating that he takes, I think he's gassed a little bit. But he has to jump into that reserve tank, the hot tub time machine, go back a few months, whatever it takes. Because without Malik, without Kevin, he has to be better, man. That's just a way, and I'm talking about scoring. 7 shots? Dude. That's as many shots as Trey Lyles last night.
That's almost waving a white flag.
Right, exactly. Like, but, you know, and I don't know the inner workings. You know, I can get on Domas. But it should the coaching staff recognize that as well, too, and say, you know what? Let's give it to Domas. Go to work. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the – it's like chicken and egg. Whose fault is it? And so it goes back to, you know, us talking about Keegan Murray earlier, you know, this season. You know, they got to get him more involved. Well, who does Keegan need to be more aggressive? Do they need to look for him more? Same thing with Domas. I will say this. He touches the ball every time down the floor. And so he has to be better offensively. We need his scoring.
You and Katie talk a lot about how you'd like to see him posted up more on the low block. Mm. I feel like I've seen him a little more down there lately.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason why he's so effective at the high post at the foul line, much harder to guard. Low block, much easier to send help, much easier to double. And that's what we're seeing lately, right? Teams are bottling him up. And so I would like to see, and I rarely see this, Whitey, and you'll echo this. What about reposting? What about getting it?
Yeah.
Get double, get it out, and then get it back again. You know, we don't see that really with this Kings team. And so I don't know, man. I think we're all just searching for answers right now, like what can be better. I need Domas to be better, especially at scoring the ball.
To EJ's question, I think it's a really interesting question. I don't see it, EJ. EJ was asking, are guys not taking the ball to the basket because they have the foul line?
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that, are you?
You know, we've seen that with maybe, you know, Ben Simmons a couple years ago. People in the Bay Area thought maybe Draymond had a little bit of that. Then when that's happening, guys just get rid of the ball.
Right,
it's just like they don't want the ball. I don't think we're seeing that. And I don't think – I don't know that any of these guys – you know, De'Aaron's not a great foul shooter, but I don't see him, like, panicking when he's at the line. Domas struggles, but obviously a guy like Domas is not like he's going to go to the foul line. He has to – he obviously knows that. He can't let that affect his play. So it's a good question, but honestly, I don't see that.
I don't see it either. And
I think, you know, that would manifest itself in other ways where it'd be more obvious.
Right, more obvious, like almost a hot potato down there when they get it into the paint. And so I'm not seeing that at all. What I am seeing is, you know, maybe they're gassed a little bit too. I mean, you know, the legs might be going. You know, I'm looking at Keegan's stat line, 5 of 16, 3 of 10 from 3. And you know how it is, Whitey. When you're tired, first thing that goes to legs, and that affects your jump shot, you know? I don't know. We're all looking for answers right now with this Kings team.
339-1140, pardon me, 1-800-920-1140. Steven on Sackdown Sports. Steven, what's going on?
Hello, Whitey, Kyle. How you
Steven.
Guys doing? JJ,
what's
obviously.
Up?
Man, what's up, man? Happy birthday, my friend. I just literally am calling to wish you a happy birthday, my guy.
Go it's Drapes.
Big,
it's your birthday.
Birthday
go Drapes.
You're doing big things today. A little 50 in the background. You know, you're at work, unfortunately. But, you know, the bills don't pay themselves, baby. You know, so you got to make that money, man. Happy birthday, big dog. I hope you have a really good day, my friend.
Thank you, Steven. Appreciate that. What do you think of this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, and I want more calls. 916-339-1140.
Happy birthday calls?
Right, exactly, dude, because we don't want to focus on that heartbreaking gut punch yesterday. Let's talk about happier times. But what do you think about this? Your birthday should be a mandatory day off at work. Like, it should be universal.
Agreed.
Like, it's only one freaking day. Uh-huh. Like, give the person their birthday off.
A floating holiday.
Like, a floating holiday, right?
Agreed.
Jay? Like, what are we doing? It's one freaking day of the year to celebrate somebody's birthday. They should have it off, man.
Man, if you preach in that type of situation, it's a political year. I'm signing up with you.
Right?
Brother.
That might be my platform.
That yeah. and we go that in City of
like,
Trees.
I'm not, that is I City understand of, what
you're
saying.
If you do that in City of Trees in Sacramento, we cooking, bro.
Yeah, we cooking, right?
I like it more when it's you don't necessarily have it, but then if you want to take it, you find a way to do it.
Why?
That's more special. Otherwise, you, like, you already get the day off.
You don't believe.
No, I do. And sometimes I don't mind working on my birthday.
So you want to manipulate the game. It makes you feel better if you finesse your way out of a
day.
Then
it's even more special. Like, I'm not coming in. Why not? It's my birthday. Ooh, okay. All right.
Maybe what just about, call in sick.
Whatever it takes. Okay. And I don't usually do that, but how about Super Bowl Monday? How about Election Day? Should those be holidays?
Election Day, I think so.
See, I think if Election Day is a holiday, people are just taking off. They're going to go on
go
vacation.
Somewhere and
no
not actually
vote.
Voting.
Yeah.
Dude, don't get me started on Election Day. And I don't know how it is out here in some of the places, but I just remember in Philly and watching my parents stand in those long lines. Like, you shouldn't have to, have a whole day and be in line just to vote, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so, but birthdays, you should have, especially think about this, Whitey. What if your birthday's on a Friday? Or a
Ooh,
Monday. Then you got that
it.
3-day weekend.
Love
yeah,
it. Come on.
You just got to work it.
And it's
it,
no,
it.
They don't hold it against you. You don't have to use any vacation time or anything. It's just already built in.
Most companies now, they give you a lot of flexibility, don't they, with personal days? And one of my daughters is in tech in San Francisco. And, man, they like some of those places, like, you can come in and have dinner and breakfast anytime you want. It's
really? They got stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's good, too.
What do we have here?
A vending machine.
The broken vending machine that can't find any good coffee in the joint. I mean, we got to talk to HR and get that taken care of.
Yeah, because it's so competitive. And like, you need time off. The amount of time she gets off, it's like,
right.
Wow, I mean, good for you, but it's incredible.
It's like college nowadays. Like, when kids are coming there, you know, all the amenities that they have and everything, you know, it's competitive.
Oh, these kids today. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That's the Draper birthday fun phone today. Also, we got Brendan Nunes coming up and this disastrous road trip. Brendan will put that into perspective for us when he joins us next. Drive Guys on Sackdown Sports. You're invited to Kyle Draper's radio birthday party today. Happy birthday, Kyle Draper. Drive Guys here. We got our next guest joining us. And, you know, Drape said, oh, we got to invite him. SackdownSports.com Kings Insider, Brendan Nunes. How are you today, Brendan?
I'm doing great. You know, I still got to figure out how I'm celebrating my guy Drape's birthday, but I'm willing to take recommendations from the man himself.
Well, you'll see me tomorrow, right, at the game. So I'm taking all gifts and presents and everything, maybe a gift card or something like that. You know, you could swing that, okay. Brendan. Kings Team Store gift card. How about that?
Yeah.
Kings Team Store. We're not going Celtics Team Store no more.
Oh, that's a shot.
I'm
a Celtics hater, man. People don't understand that. When they were playing the Warriors, I'm sorry, I didn't want the Celtics to win. I just did.
Okay, Drake.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't win now that I'm not there. So I'm a hater on the Celtics.
Yeah, and you're not a big Warrior guy either, are you?
Not exactly, man. It's but, you know, here's the crazy thing, Brendan, as we look at the final three games, and I looked at this, Whitey said, and it's fact, the Kings got to win three in a row. The Pelicans got to lose three in a row to make, you know, to have any hope at that 60. Well, the Pelicans got to play the Lakers and the Warriors. So we're going to actually have to cheer for the Lakers and the Warriors to beat the Pelicans. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it might be a little bit of a moral dilemma for some Kings fans, but that's the reality that we're at right now. Every game matters, and it seems like every night there's plenty of games, even outside of ones that Kings are participating in, that have big implications on where they're going to be at in the standings. You know, these next two are tough. Obviously, New Orleans and Phoenix back-to-back is certainly not easy as you look at it. And like I mentioned, everybody really competing for something right now. But I don't know. I feel okay. I think that still the Kings, I guess I kind of have a reputation for being the optimist of sorts, and maybe that's just how I keep myself sane. But I feel like they have an opportunity in these games. And the most 2023-24 Sacramento Kings thing would be to win these first two against New Orleans and Phoenix, and then lose Portland, and that's what keeps you in the play-in.
Don't say it.
You know it fits.
The negativity in this town sucks, to quote Rick Pitino.
Yeah, the Kings, of course, they would be in ninth all by themselves today if the Lakers had lost, but the Warriors beat the Lakers last night. Warriors going 26 of 41 beyond the three-point line, 63.4%, the highest for a team shooting 40 or more threes ever. Brendan, so you're not with Carmichael Dave, who said today, I can't wait for the season to be over. We're all agreed. We're nowhere near that state of mind right now, right?
You know, I somewhat understand it, but I guess my perspective is there's things to watch for the long-term outcome of this team, because this is still a stepping stone in a way. If we're talking about, you know, there's one winner and there's 29 losers in every NBA season. And if you're trying to inch closer to being that one, then this is just a stepping stone. So while Malik Monk, Kevin Herter are going down, that hurts your odds this season, obviously. I think there are good things that could come from that when you're looking at the long-term roster construction, whether that's, you know, if we have a playoff series where the Kings face the Golden State Warriors, or I guess play-in game against the Golden State Warriors, and De'Aaron Fox, the best player on the floor, and Keegan Murray drops 25, I feel pretty good about how core is moving forward, you know? So I understand the perspective of, like, you know, they're probably not going to get out of the first round this year is the reality. There's still a chance where that's possible in my mind, but I still think there are things that could take place that would be really, really beneficial to next year and beyond.
Our Sacktown Sports 1140 Kings insider Brendan Nunes joining us. And you're right, Brendan, when you look at it, it only takes one game, one win to get into the playoffs when you're in the play-in, if you're on that 7-8. And so this whole negativity, man, and get the season, like, all they need to do is win one freaking game next week, and then it's a whole different vibe. And why wouldn't somebody want to see more basketball?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It really, to me, I understand the emotional part, but it just doesn't make sense because, like I've said, the goals are still there. Everything is still very much attainable, and that's to get in the playoffs and get a series and see what happens. And so, and then at that point, like Miami said last year, anything is possible. Anything can happen. And so I'm not with this negativity, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate the positivity, Drapes. I'm with you. I mean, you look at Miami last year, and I know the Eastern Conference is, I guess, not as competitive as the East when it comes to depth, but that's a team, they lost their first play-in game,
yep.
won the second one barely, and then made Eastern Conference Finals, you know? And you look at the top of the West, like I said, there's a lot more parity this year, but, you know, the Kings have played Minnesota and OKC specifically pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think that they would have a chance in some of those series. Now, I don't think they'd be favored, and I don't think they deserve to be close to favored, but I think they'd have a shot.
Brendan Nunes with us. Brendan, as you know, after the game last night, Coach Brown talked about the winning formula, and he said, hey, when you ignore, a successful formula, you're asking for trouble. And I think he was talking about shooting so many threes. How is that a successful formula? Is that the successful formula he was actually talking about?
Yeah, I think that he more so meant like, you know, things were working in the first half and our formula we went into the game with was being executed and successful. And then it kind of went away from in the second half. Now, I think that OKC does deserve some credit for that. They came out with an intensity in that third quarter where they really just kind of mucked up the game defensively, similarly in a way to what the Kings do. You know, they don't have a rim protector like Chet Holmgren, but the physicality and getting into the ball, you could tell was just kind of on another level for OKC in that third quarter and seemed to have caught the Kings a little bit off guard. They looked a little flustered. 9 turnovers in that second half for 11 OKC points, I think, plays a big part here. But it's a tough situation when, you know, Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk out, that's the guys that Domantas Sabonis plays the most two-man game with. And the non-De'Aaron Fox minutes are really tough to survive because you look at Domas's 8 points, double-double streak ended, right? Somebody pointed out earlier when I was on with Stiles and Watkins, a caller, that, you know, a big part of this is also Malik Monk sets up Sabonis for his points as well. So part of me wants to look at Sabonis and be like, man, I wish that we could get a little bit more from you on a night like last night, specifically against Chet Holmgren, where I think both bigs have an offensive advantage on each other. But it's tough in those second units when there's no Fox out there to really help them out.
Brendan Nunes joining us. Brendan, I was going to ask you about Domas and his 14.9 points per game over his last 9 games. What do the Kings need from him these final 3?
I think that it's interesting, and I almost feel like he could benefit from some of his other teammates being a little bit more aggressive. Sabonis is a guy that, while most of his benefit really comes on the offensive end, he's not somebody that you really throw the ball down to and it's like, okay, get me a bucket. Maybe every once in a while, right? But with these guys that have been out, it seems like teams are packing the paint a lot against the Kings. Post All-Star break, we've heard of a handful of losses where that's been the issue and really affected their offense. So he takes a dribble or two and he's getting double teamed. It puts him in a tough spot. And I think that he's obviously somebody that's going to make the right play. But when you kick out to a Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, they need to take that shot if they're open, or if not, take a dribble or two and try to keep the momentum and the advantage that was created by Sabonis going from that point. And I think that they don't have guys that are necessarily accustomed to doing that. You know, you see, it drives me a little crazy. I don't know about you guys, but Keon Ellis is more aggressive than Keegan Murray out there. Ooh. And it's a credit to Keon. I like his aggressiveness, but sometimes I think that Keegan is the one that, in my mind, I point at. You're talked about as part of this big three, the third of the big three, then, you know, take some steps towards that direction. And I think he has, but there's more opportunity now that I'd like to see him continue to step that up.
It's funny when you said take some steps, I was thinking of Shea and that big basket he had last night. Brendan, is Keon Ellis, all things considered, maybe the best thing that's happened for the Kings all year long?
It might be. I would also throw De'Aaron's three ball in there, but I think that, I mean, again, the confidence that Keon has, while I used it as an example of I wish Keegan would do the same, it's a credit to Keon, and I'm glad to see it, man. You look at that loss they had in Washington after the game, Mike Brown calls out Keon Ellis and a couple other guys for saying that they were passing up shots, and that was something that he also said post-game after last night's loss against OKC. Let me tell you, Keon was not one of those guys. Keon learned. And I think that we've seen all these learning moments from Keon, whether it's looking back because you're trying to figure out where the screen's coming from and Jalen Brunson goes by you. I would bet that Keon will not look behind him again and be ready for his teammates to tell him, or Kyrie Irving putting some moves on him. Like, I think that he has been a very impactful player for this team, and they have him on really good team control. You know, he's different than Lou Dort, but it does remind me of that in a way, where he was on such a great contract coming off of an undrafted coming into the league undrafted, and then on a really good deal, where he seems like he could be similar to this. You know, Lou Dort, Torrey Craig, I believe Royce O'Neal falls into that, Ryan Arcidiacono, if you want to go Alex Caruso. There's a lot of undrafted guys that Keon seems to be following in their footsteps. And I'll add that Kobe seems to be trailing right behind Keon.
Brendan, thank you. We appreciate it. You gave us a little bit of a note of optimism. We could use all that we can get today.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
So we'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Happy birthday, Drake.
All right. Thanks, Brendan.
Yeah, for great coverage, check out Brendan and Frankie, of course, SacktownSports.com. Coming up here, the NBA is really serious about this whole letting them play philosophy and emphasis. That's next. You got to hear about this. If you haven't heard it already, you won't believe it. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Birthday powered today, Kyle Draper's birthday. You big cake guy? I'm a huge birthday. I love birthday cake.
No, I love cake. What kind, though? What kind of cake? What flavor? Really. You know?
Have you ever heard of champagne chiffon cake?
No, I have not.
It's great. And there's a place in town that makes it. Growing up in Vallejo, there's a place called Home Bakery. They made the best. And there's a place here. I can't remember the name of it now, but they do it here.
Really?
Sacramento, and it's great.
Really?
It's great. But I don't care if it's cake.
You're like,
that's great.
I'm kind of plain though.
Really?
Just like a white cake, you know, vanilla frosting. But I do like all cake. Like,
you need to discriminate.
But that's it's, you know, that's my thing. That's
what
my
do you
jam.
Think of, that's how you feel about cakes. What do you think of a radio host who gets credit for like having saved the team and then there's like three games left and he comes on the radio after a tough loss and says, well, I just want the season to be over. What would you think of someone like that?
Not really a fan, really, right? You know, no. Just a wishy-washy kind of fan.
Carmichael really. Dave joining us right
what?
Now.
What? Yeah. Dude, what's going on, man? I saw that tweet. Yeah, you put a poll out. Are we just ready for this season to be out? Like, where did that come from, Dave? I want more basketball, big fella.
Let's just back up. So... that's the intro I get. So we sung happy birthday to Kyle this morning because we love him, right? And stopped there on the show to do it. And then Whitey, who just, let's just be honest, I mean, it'll be in the book, but pretty much abused me the entire time I was an intern at the station, rolls me in with that. You're right. First off, I didn't save the team. Secondly, you know, so you're putting words in my
mouth.
I said
you get credit for it. I didn't say you actually did it.
Well, yeah, that's not my fault. Secondly, yeah, wishy-washy, that's me. You know, Kings are good this year. I put out a poll yesterday because I found myself having this weird thought creep in the middle of a very emotional meltdown for all yesterday, and I said, God, I just weirdly kind of want the season to be over. Just stop with this crap every other week about these weird. I mean, we've literally coined a new term on the morning show for losses. You've heard it, the Willodies, the worst loss of the year. There's like 80 of them, it seems. And then I just put the poll out, and honestly, I figured I was just being that guy. 82% of, I don't know, thousands that responded. Everybody responded to that poll. 82% were like, yeah, that's not weird. That's not weird. I do kind of want it done, too. It's just in the moment.
Well, don't you know this, though, Dave. You having grown up here, it's so much better right now for all the anguish and the angst, which we all understand because we all go through it. It's so much better than sitting there going, well, you know, if the ping pong balls fall the right way, you know, they end up with the fourth pick or whatever. This is so much better than that. And these games matter. And there's something to be said. There's a lot to be said for that.
I don't disagree with you. I really don't. I don't disagree with you because you're right. But that's also a second cousin to they could be in Seattle, right? Like at some point you get expectations. And that's where folks like me are. I've said it before. This is the most likable, and I'm talking about personally, I'm talking about the type of individual on the team. This is like the most likable, unlikable team I've ever seen. It's like I wouldn't rather be a 28-win team. But, guys, isn't it a different kind of frustration when you know the team sucks and you lose? You're like, well, they suck. But to me, the first half yesterday, that's who this team should be. That's who this team can be. Maybe I expect too much. I think they're better than that. So whether it's that, whether it's losing in Portland, whether it's losing at home to Charlotte, whether it's losing at home to Detroit, whether it's losing in Washington, it's like Lucy in the damn football, man. And I feel like sometimes we're Charlie Brown. I just expect more out of these guys, and when we don't get it, that's where I have an issue. One quick stat, 3 losses on this road trip. They were 1-3, guys. In 2 of those losses, they blew 20-point leads. And in the other loss, they had a 1-point lead with 8 seconds left and possession of the ball. Like, that's where the frustration comes from.
I get frustration, Dave, but we also have to be realist. We're not Denver. We're not Boston. We're not the upper echelon. And I went through it and looked at the teams right around us, the Pelicans. I looked at the Clippers. I looked at Phoenix. They all have bad losses also. You know, the Pelicans lost to Memphis twice. They lost to San Antonio. They have bad losses as well. And so I think we just need to be realistic. Outside of the Bostons, the Denvers of the world, a lot of these teams have those bad losses.
I don't disagree. And in fact, it was funny. I didn't even know who it was when I was tweeting with him like a month ago. And it turns out it was Mike Brown's son that was checking me with that on Twitter. Saying that you're building a contender. This is what happens. There's stops and starts. And you would know that, obviously. You went through that in Boston, Kyle. I'm not immune to that, and this may just be a blip. Oh, by the way, they could, like, make the Western Conference Finals this year, and I would love nothing more than to be made fun of for the rest of my life about how I once said I was sometimes wanting the season to be over. But am I wrong? Am I wrong for being, you know, in a moment of clarity and truth? When these guys, am I the only one that when they built that 20-point lead in the first half yesterday, I actually start to get preemptively angry because I feel like, and I said this yesterday, guys, it's like a colonoscopy. Like, even if you're prepared for it and you know what you're about to go through, it's still incredibly invasive no matter how prepared you are for what's coming. And though I prepared myself mentally for what was going to happen in the second half, and it inevitably did in like 5 minutes, it still hurts a bit. It still sucks. That's where I'm at.
Here's the thing, though, Dave. that's a little overdramatic for me. I understand what you're saying. But to me, yeah, I know the expectations this year, they were probably way out of whack from opening night in, you know, against Utah. That said, I understand, you know, those Houston losses, we started to have to come to terms with, maybe this team's not as good as we thought they were going to be. And I understand all the ups and the downs. But when they lost the 2 games to Dallas and then Malik goes down and Herter's already out, to me it's like, okay, there's expectations. We throw those out the window. It's like these are scrappy underdogs now. We can't hold them to the standards that we held them to earlier in the year because they already had something of a challenged roster. They did nothing to upgrade it. And then you lose 2 of your top players. So to me right now, it's like, man, these guys are just hanging on. So I don't feel that last night. I don't feel that, oh, they blew another lead. I feel like, wow, they were competitive. And now we still have 3 games left. And I'm excited to see where this goes.
I'll be honest with you guys. I'm a little bit sick in the head when it comes to this stuff. I'm just being honest. And Whitey, not the Kyle, you would understand this, but I'm talking about, like, going back to, like, 02 and everything in between. Like, I guess maybe I'm a little conditioned to wait for the inevitable, which is the football gets pulled out. And it is kind of it's a very pessimistic view. And I feel like I've developed, in fact, I said this on the morning show, you know, I've developed this thing with the Kings where I try to be the Anthony Robbins of pessimism. Like, optimism has no point in my brain. If you expect terrible things to happen, the worst case that happens is that your expectations were met. There's not a fall. It's the hope with this team that kills you. I don't doubt their effort. That's why I don't call them soft. That's why I don't say these guys are soft or they don't care, because it's not true. Harrison Barnes last night was borderline unplayable at times, but he's fighting, he's clawing, he's stretching, he's trying to get to the line. It's not an effort thing for me. This team's last in the league in free throws. Like what is going on there? Do I think there's some mental issues there? Do I think they could use a sports psychologist? Sure. But I've just, for this season, to me, I expect the worst to happen. And maybe I'm just preemptively setting myself up in these final 3 games for disappointment, and I'd love nothing more than to be made fun of. Whitey, I would love for you to write a diss track on me and how flaky and dumb I am if I'm wrong. I hope that's the case.
Well, we're brothers, though. We're partners.
Yeah, you guys are. Let me say this, though. Let me say this before and Dave, this is the Drive Guys, not the Carmichael Dave show, so we're going to get you up out of here in a second. In the first round of the playoffs, I'm just saying, when we play in the first round of the playoffs, you're not sitting courtside, big fella. I'm sending you up top. I don't know where you get your tickets from, but I don't want to see you courtside there. You got to go up top or in the media seating or something like that.
I got. Do you have faith we're going to be playing in the first round?
Yes, I do. I got faith.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I'll tell you what. If we're in the first round, if we make the first round of the playoffs, I will stand outside the offices. I will stand outside the studio on the street, and I will hold a big giant sign for an hour, first hour, last hour, that says, "Kyle, I was wrong."
Ooh.
If they don't make the first round of the playoffs, you do the same thing on my show.
Nah, your show's too early, bro. Your show's too early. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, let's have faith, though.
We can't do that because that'll be when we're doing the Laker funeral, Dave. So we can't.
No, dude. Yeah. No. So does Kyle know about that? Have you told him off air?
He did. Yeah, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, yes. Yeah. We're not going that route again.
Okay. Well, there's a salt shaker right there next to a pepper shaker. If somebody could throw some over their shoulder, and I'll get on up out of here because it's the Drive Guys.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. All right,
yeah.
Dave.
Thanks
for
checking in. And, yeah, when we come back, we'll get to just how serious the NBA is about this philosophy of letting them play. It's gotten very ridiculous. Drive Guys next. Sacktown Sports.